Jeremiah chapter 32. If you would stand with us, we're going to read verse 32, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Father, this morning I'm thankful, dear God, for all that you've done, all that you've given. Lord, I pray this morning that we will just have words, dear God, to encourage, Lord, those that are here today. Father, those that might listen at a later time, those might be listening now. Dear God, I pray this morning that my mind and heart would be focused on you, and dear God, that you would be able to use me as a vessel. Pour into me, dear God, that I may pour out, and help us, Lord Jesus, each one, Father, do our part to encourage others around us. And we'll thank you and praise you, dear God, for all your many blessings. In Christ's holy name we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to think about this for just a second. I was studying on witnesses and on a witness. We got a message called Where's the Evidence? And we're not going to preach that this morning. Don't know if we'll preach it tonight. But was studying that and was reading here. And Jeremiah, having bought a field and taking and sealed up one envelope with the weight of purchase price, and he had another one that was open with the same in it. But then when he goes to pay for the field, he takes with him some witnesses. And so I was looking at that and thinking that, and I kept reading down through there and just going through the scriptures and reading all through there. And I run across this verse, and I had to stop because I remember not long ago I preached the message, there is nothing impossible with God. And there's not. There is nothing impossible with God. And I've heard it said that God can't do some things. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God can do everything. Because if I can do all things through Christ, Christ can then do all things, right? But otherwise, it would be impossible for me to do all things if Christ was limited as to what he could do. And so we know that there's nothing impossible with God. And we know that with Christ, we can do all things. And yet I still know today there's times when people say, well, God just can't do that, or God can't do this, and God can't. And I'm just here to tell you, God can do all things. And there's not anything that God can't do. There are some things God won't do. And that was part of my message, that there's nothing impossible with God, but there are some things God won't do. And again, just to kind of remind you, I'm glad today that God won't look through the blood of Jesus. What's under the blood is under the blood, and God won't look through the blood to see my sins. They're under the blood. They're gone. God don't look back at my past and try to draw it up behind and put it in front of me. I'm glad that God won't do that. See, the devil does that, but God won't do that. I'm thankful for that this morning. But can I tell you something, church? We go through life a lot of times, and we don't see things accomplished because we don't let God do things that God can do and God will do. And sometimes we'll even say that it's too hard for God to do. And it's not too hard for God. I thought about just the next verse here. Look at what he says in verse 18. Thou sowest loving kindness unto thousands. Unto thousands. Now think about this for just a second. There's some things that would be too hard for me to do. I got to thinking about this morning, and you know, there'd be some things too hard for me to do. How many of his parents ever walked your son or your daughter off to a military bus? That'd be a hard thing to do, sis, but you did it. You allowed it to happen, but let me ask you this. If you knew that that child definitely was not coming back, and that they had to go and they had to sacrifice their life, they were going to absolutely die, do you think you could have done that? walked them to the bus and said, I know you're dying, but I'm putting you on the bus anyways. That'd been too hard to do. Can I tell you? There are things that are too hard for you and I to do. But yet God, in his great love toward us, sent Jesus Christ, his beloved son. And let me just say this, what would have been too hard to do? To tell my son, I want you to go down and go out and give your life, and I want you to give it for a bunch of low-down, worthless people. People who curse you and mock you and ridicule you and hate you and despise you and abuse you. People who are going to, when you get there, they're going to look at you and they're going to disdain you and they're going to talk bad about you. Matter of fact, I'll just say it like this. I want you to go ahead and go, and I know you're going to die, but you go die. And when you die, they're still going to think you're worthless. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If that was my boy David, as mean as he is at times, as much as I like to thump his bald head at times, I mean to tell you, there's times in my life I would snatch him balder if he wasn't already bald. But I would still look at my son and I would say this, you ain't doing that. They don't deserve you. But that's not what God did. God did something that would be too hard for me. And Jesus did something. Can I tell you? I know today we live in a society, but if every, and think about this for just a second, if every soldier was to walk out of their house knowing that when they walked out of their house, that every person, not some, but all of them, were no good. You think that'd be too hard for him? I'm going to go die, but I'm going to die for a whole bunch, everybody, none of them. No good. I have to take a second thought on that one a little bit. But not Jesus. Jesus did it because he knew he's no good. He knew he's worthless. And yet he showed his loving kindness to us anyways. See, God said, I'll send my son. Jesus said, I'll go. If you think about it this way, church, there is nothing too hard for God. And yet those things that are not too hard for God would be too hard for you and I. But yet out of God's loving kindness towards you and I, he did it all. When he was in heaven, think about it this way, in the book of Genesis, the Bible said, and God created the heavens and the earth. That's too hard for me and you, but wasn't too hard for God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I just by the sound of anybody's voice, would you like to turn the lights off this morning? Because I can tell you what, I can sit here all day long saying, go out, go out, go out, go out. And unless somebody hits a switch or the power goes off or they burn out, they ain't going out. But God, with the sound of his voice, says, go out, and they'd go out. God, with the sound of his voice, said, let there be light, and there was light. There was no light, and then there was light. God, with the sound of his voice, created the heavens and the earth and everything we see today. God said, let us make man in our image. And in that thought that God had there, in the words that he spoke there, when God put his hand into the dust of the earth, out came a man. It was God who did it. There is nothing. Hey, God can take dust and make a man. He can also take a limb bone and make a woman. Can you do that? Because I can't. Can you make a chicken before an egg? They always say, what come first, the chicken or the egg? Chicken. God created the chicken, then came the egg. God can do what we can't do, because there's just nothing too hard for God. That lines up with there is nothing impossible for God. I started thinking about some things. And I know we go through the Bible and we talk about these things, but can I say to you this morning, we need to remind ourselves some things. Jeremiah also tells us, or Isaiah tells us, that God said, when thou passest through the sea, I'll be or flood, I'll be with you. When thou passest through the fire, I'll be with you. When thou passest through the sea, I'll be with you. And we look and we see all these things. We say, well, it's obvious that he was there whenever they went through the flood of the Jordan River. It was obvious that he was there when they crossed the Red Sea. And I thought about something I've said before on a Sunday preaching and other people saying, you know, because people say, well, it was only ankle deep water when they went through. And we say, well, what a miracle that God would drown all of those folks in ankle deep water. But can I tell you something? It would have been impossible for it to be the ankle deep water, for God said something else. He said, these that you see pursuing you, you'll see no more. Now think about that just a second. What did all those soldiers have on them? Armor. Heavy armor. It wasn't plastic. It wasn't flotation devices. They had steel mesh and heavy metal plates and different things on them. They knew what they were going out there to do. They go out to fight them, and here they are on the way out to fight. They've got their armor on. You say, well, Brother Ernie, you know, it would have been a miracle. No, let me tell you something. They couldn't shed their armor fast enough not to drown. And when God allowed the sea walls to come back into place, they could not swim out because they had on their armor. Now, what does that tell you about something? If you put your faith and trust in man's armor, you'll drown. But if you put on the armor of God, you'll get to the other side through dry land. What was too hard for men was not too hard for God. Don't miss the fact this, that God stood up the water into walls and dried out the ground at the same time. When the wind did blow, when God told Moses, he said, here's what you do. You go out and you step into the water, and here the priests go stepping in the water here, and they're going out there, and all of a sudden there was a wind, and it blew, and the walls went up straight, and the ground immediately dried out. Listen to me very carefully. That was God. Ain't nothing too hard for God. When you get over into the book of Daniel, we look past these a lot of times. We get caught up and we say, you know what? Well, Jesus was in the fiery furnace with them. Amen. I'm glad he was. But he did something that man could not do. He didn't burn up either. He protected them not only from the heat, but from the smell. When they come out, he had revealed himself unto King Nebuchadnezzar, so that King Nebuchadnezzar said, the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. He knew exactly who. Hey, man can't see God. It seems like a lot of times, but you know what? If you try hard enough, you'll see him everywhere. The men didn't survive the fire and threw them in there, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived. Why? Because what was impossible for men was not impossible for God. And there's nothing too hard for God. When Jeremiah gets to this point, do you look at what he said there in verse 17? Oh! Now he's seen God do a lot of things. Jeremiah's a prophet. I mean, come on, people, it's no surprise to him. But Jeremiah actually stops and stands in awe of God. Oh, Lord. Nothing's too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Jeremiah tells him, he said, I know that you created. Just think about this for a second. He said, thou shalt thy loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense iniquity unto the fathers of the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according his way, according to the fruit of his doing, which hast set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even in this day. and in Israel and among other men, and thou hast made thee a name at this day, and thou hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with a great terror, and hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then you go on down and you think about all this, and then you get to, listen to this, then came the word in verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. I'm going to stop right there. You'll read the rest of it. I know you will, but I want you to understand this. Whether you're lost or saved, it doesn't matter. God's still God. He's the God of all flesh. The atheist out there today who says there is no God, well, he's a liar. Besides that, though, there is a God, and God said, I'm your God. Now, whether or not man will accept God is up to man, but it does not matter what man thinks, what man says, what man does, God is still God. I preached a message one time about that. God is still God, and I won't preach that this morning. But you know what? I also preached a message one time that said, don't tell God what to do, and a whole bunch of men try to get my credentials and throw me out of the association, so God moved me down here and you got me. Because you know what? We try to tell God things are impossible. We try to tell God he can't do something. We try to tell God what to do. I was thinking about this morning. There is nothing too hard for God, right? Then what is fasting about for a second? I want you to think about this for a second. Most people today fast trying to make God do something. They're trying to tell God to do something, and so they're going to fast until God does what they want him to do. Can I tell you, that's a hunger strike. Because fasting is not you and me telling God what to do. And we're not fasting until God does what we want him to. If we're going to fast, it means we're going to fast so that God can do something with us. Because God don't have to have you fast in order for him to be able to do something. God can do it. Nothing too hard for God. So here's God. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Whether you like it or you don't like it is immaterial to the fact that it is the truth. I'm glad he is. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm glad this morning that God is the God of all flesh. And then he says, is there anything too hard for me? He asked the question for just a second here. Now God will go on and tell us these things. But here's the thought. Jeremiah in verse 17 says, Oh, the Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah got it. We ought to get it. God can do it. God absolutely can do it. And God will do it. But God will only do it when we are where we need to be for God to do it. Do you realize if the children of Israel never left out of Egypt, God would have never parted the Red Sea because they weren't there to part it for? Sometimes you and I, we look at things and we say, well, God ain't going to do anything. Well, if you show up, God will show up. If you go, God will go. Why? Because God was trying to get you to go in the first place. What did they go into Egypt with? Nothing. What did they come out with? Everything. You think about this. Prisoners, basically. They were servants, they were slaves, they were in prison, they were in bondage, they were not free to do How many of those would go into captivity and on the way out, go out with all the wealth of the land? When God sent them out, they went out barren, not empty. Can I tell you, they went out with livestock. They went out with kids. Part of the problem they had is they were growing so much that the Egyptians were afraid of them because they was getting to be too powerful. And on the way out, they took everything else with them. The treasuries was going out with them. Because that's what God can do. There are nothing too hard for God. So God gets over and he asks the next question. Here's the things that I know that you do, God. Here's the things that you are. And Jeremiah is declaring, and as Jeremiah is declaring, God's sitting there going, he can't do anything but shake his head, right? He said, you're right. Not because Jeremiah was right, because Jeremiah was just testifying about who God is and what God can do and what God has already done. And can I tell you this morning, church, the question then becomes this to you and I. Is there anything too hard for God? And if there's not, then what's holding us back? And if there is, why? Well, the question... Well, the second is the easy one to answer. The only reason you and I would think there's anything too hard for God is because we don't know who God is. In our minds, God would be a limited being. Can I tell you something? If I do this 500 times, I'm going to get the same result. You say, what's going on, brother? Well, every time I'm stepping out, I'm thinking I can walk on air. And I just keep going down. But can I tell you that there's nothing too hard for God? So God, he could stand here and he'd step out and he'd be standing in midair. If Jesus can walk on water, folks, he can walk on air. I mean, there's nothing too hard. But we keep limiting God when God shouldn't be limited. Whatever you're facing is not too hard for God to take care of. You just got to listen to God. Got to pay attention to what he's saying. In other words, you got to read your Bible and you got to pray. And can I tell you, one without the other doesn't work. I had problems sleeping this week. I'm going to tell on myself because that's what I do. Lord, I feel like Lord really blessed us Sunday with the message. I really do. I'm glad I got a new name. Amen. Sunday night, I'm glad I got a new name written down in glory. I don't remember Monday, but I can tell you on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we was busy. And it just seemed like I was so focused on everything else going on around me. I prayed a lot, but I didn't read my Bible those days. And I prayed hard. I couldn't sleep. Could not. I'd lay there, and Nettie can tell you this. I lay there. I mean, I'm ready. I want to go deer hunting in the morning. I lay there and I cannot go to sleep. I'm sitting there Friday morning because I couldn't sleep. So we didn't go hunting. And God said, you can't sleep because you ain't eat. How many of you get a real good full belly and get tired? They call it Thanksgiving turkey hangover, right? So much turkey, you got to take a nap. So I get my Bible out, and I'm studying, and I tell Ned this. I said, I can't sleep because I've not read. I'm not studying. Friday evening, I go to bed. A little later than what I wanted to, but I go to bed. and I go to sleep. Doesn't take me very long. I'm praying. I'm out. Yesterday, we had a busy day, but I made sure that before we went to bed, I prayed and studied, and I just, we shut the lights off, studying and praying. I shut the light off, and I go to sleep. One without the other don't work. A lot of times we try to do one thing without doing both things. Sometimes we try to do one thing that we know we should without doing all the things that we know we should. That's why we think things are too hard. We're not where we need to be with God. We'll say stuff like, it won't happen. Who said it won't happen? It can't happen. Who said it can't happen? And I'm not talking about, you know, just making things up, but I'm talking about things that God wants to do in our lives, things that God wants to do with us. Got a thought in my mind. I haven't got it all planned out just yet. God, give me. Can I tell you something? When you start studying and you start praying, God will start flooding your mind. I got more messages than I can preach right now, and I've got more message thoughts than I can handle right now on something. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, which one do you want me to do? And God will say, well, just listen. All these songs this morning went with the message I thought I was going to preach. All the songs that we sung last week wouldn't have went with the message I thought I was going to preach. You start listening to God, God starts speaking. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. You're going through things in your life right now, and you just, you know why we don't feel comfortable sometimes, or why we're troubled, why we feel like it's all falling apart, is because we're not focusing on God, we're focusing on ourselves. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child, and God said, this time next year, I'll visit you again, you'll have a child. And they said, they're not going to happen. Here, take Haggai. Children of Israel facing the Red Sea, and God says, walk on through, and everything, it ain't going to happen. But yet somebody had faith to step out, and sure enough, when they stepped out, it happened. Dry land came. Nebuchadnezzar told all the people in the land, he said, if you don't bow down, I'll kill you. I'm ad-libbing these a little bit, but you can go back and read them, right? And he said, I'll kill you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you may kill us, but we ain't bending. He's mad, he's hot, he's furious. You're dead. No, we're not. If the body died, the soul will go back to the Lord. We're in good hands. There are some people who don't believe things are too hard for God. And God is able to move and work and do a lot of things. Then there's some things, some people who think there's God won't do something. Well, if you don't let him, he won't do it. He's not going to force his will on you. If he did, it wouldn't be called free will. God can't do. God can do all things. Well, I can't do it. Not without Christ, you can't. John 15 tells us, for without me, you can't do nothing. That's Jesus. But he also tells us there's nothing impossible with God, and then we quote, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So what is it, church? Just think about whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever's happening, what is it? Is it too hard for God? Is it impossible with God? Or are you and I the issue? See, we want God to do what we want God to do. We don't want God to do what we don't want God to do. And yet, a lot of times, we don't really care what God wants us to do. church needs to step back one more time and get in awe of God. Get in awe of God. Because I can tell you something. When you're in awe of astounding and admiration, you admire. When you're in awe of that type of that person there, you pay attention to them. A lot of times we desire them to be like that person, to have what they have, and we wonder, you know, man, I'm just in awe. I can't believe, man, how did they get there? How did they do this? How did they? Oh yeah, well, I want to try that then. We're no longer in awe of God. So the question then, God says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The answer to that is no. Not because Jeremiah said in verse 17 that there's not, but because I know this, that there's nothing too hard for God. And can I tell you, church, there's nothing too hard for you and I if we allow God to do it. Amen. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking. But our hopelessness can be washed out and replaced with hope when we put our faith and our trust in God. And remember who God is. He's not the figment of our imagination. He's not somebody sitting high up in the heavens who doesn't care. He's the God of your flesh. Without God, you wouldn't have been formed. Isaiah tells us, he said, in thy mother's womb I formed thee. I looked the way I looked when I come out of my mom and dad's, or my mama's belly, because not because of my mom and dad's DNA, which, not to tell you, that does have part of things, right? God made it that way. But I looked the way I did because God formed me. Nothing's too hard for God. Stand with us this morning. Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we're thankful and grateful for all that you've done. Lord, I thank you today for all that you do. And Lord, it seems like of late we get overwhelmed. Lord, we get depressed. We waver and we doubt. We get mad, discouraged. Father, a lot of times our emotions are just like the waves of the sea. But just like we said this morning, you can calm the raging seas. You calm the troubled seas. Lord, I pray this morning, calm our hearts and our minds and make us stronger for you. Father, I pray this morning, may we put a greater value on you than on ourselves and anything else. Speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord, we pray this morning. We ask you, Father, these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a desire to come this morning,